Let's open our Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 11 for a moment, if you would. One of the things about faith, you know, how many... all of us, we study on certain subjects or we read up on certain subjects. How many find out that even in life, the more you know, the more you find out you don't know?
Amen.
How many been in that position? See, I got this, I know, and then you find out, gee, I don't know. You know, God kind of unfolds something and you go, boy, I thought I knew, but I really don't know. You feel kind of stupid, don't you? Sometimes you say, boy, I thought I really knew, but I don't know. And so faith, one thing about faith is that faith, real faith, is an action. It's so if you really believe something, you will act on it. And if you're not acting on it, then it's just really something you may believe, but it may be more head believing, not heart. Because there are a lot of natural examples. We don't have to walk through them, but you know this. Things that you believe in this world, natural things. Let's just think natural. I believe I'm going on a trip. You're already talking about it, planning about it, buying stuff, telling everybody. You get on a plane, I'm going, or a ship, or whatever it is you're going on. You don't even know you're going to get there, but you're going. See, you're acting on what you believe. See, that's just natural things. But when it comes to spiritual things, those things that we believe and are convinced of, confident of, we act on. Living faith, something that's alive, will be acted upon. That's why when you see people, you always see ministers, those that maybe, or don't have to be a minister, somebody who has laid hands on someone says, do something you couldn't do before. Because if you believe you received healing in your body, I'm going to try to do something that I couldn't do before. Or something that maybe just moving your finger, whatever that is, you're going to do something, you see. Did you get to Hebrews 11 yet? So here's let's just read that together. I'll get there. Let me get over here. See, when the iPad doesn't get there, you just turn to your Bible. See, that'll always work. Right? It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So faith has substance. It's the ground on which your hope rests upon. Or your, in other words, as we said before, your expectations. Hope and expectations, we can say, are the same thing. Something I'm expecting, it's resting upon faith, this confidence that I have. And because I have this confidence, I can expect this to come to pass. I'm looking for it. And so this expectation of what I'm looking for is sitting upon, resting upon this confidence that I have. See, and that confidence, what did faith come from? Faith, it says, comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. It comes from the Word of God. But this faith that we have is a rhema word from God. So he takes this written word and which is put in our hearts and illumines it where? Down here. So I see it, I know it, and I've got it. How many have experienced that? Many of you have. You know it. It's like you just know it. How do I know it? I know it. I got it. And that comes, that revelation, that knowing comes from God by His Spirit. He reveals that in our hearts. And out of this, the abundance of the heart, what is supposed to happen? The mouth speaks. You see. So let's turn over and just hook up with that thought. Let's look at first. Let me just get over here. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. And let's look at verse 13. Just kind of just add these scriptures right here for us. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. What does the spirit of faith have? It says, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe. See, he's talking about we, Paul, and the Corinthians says, we also believe, and therefore speak. So it's important to see here that the spirit of faith not only believes, but speaks what it believes. You see. You can't just believe and not say something. And of course, you've heard through the years, Brother Hagin, when he was alive, the Spirit of God, as he was laying on the floor meditating on Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24, the Spirit of God said to him, did you notice that the word believe is only once in that verse 23, and the word say is in there three times? He said, no, I didn't. I've read that 100 times. And so the Spirit of God said to him, it's not that, but he says, my people don't have a problem believing. This is what the Spirit of God said to him. My people, the church, doesn't have a problem believing. They have a problem with their saying. And so this is where he said to him, you're going to have to spend three times as much time on the subject of saying as you are believing. Because we believe things, and then what do? We say something else. And so that's that. In therein lies the problem. We say things contrary to what we believe. But that's changing. I like that song this morning, there's an army rising up. There is an army rising up that's going to say what they believe. And they're changing things, not only in their life, but in their communities and regions. So let's turn over. I just want to spend a few moments here. Let's turn over, now that you have that, we just spent a moment here just reflecting on those scriptures. Let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 6 for a moment. We're talking about the good fight of faith. And this is part of walking by faith. You see, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Things that we see, feel, touch, sense, those things. Because faith will speak what it believes regardless of what it sees and feels and touches and hears. If there's faith, it will decree that and speak it and move in that way. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 12. I'm going to read verses 12, 13, and 14. Excuse me. It says, fight the good fight. So a fight can be a good fight, can it? Can it not? This is saying here, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, this had been a great time to say something else by the Spirit of God, wouldn't it have? But what did he put in here? He said that part of this good fight of faith is professing a good profession. That's how you're going to walk through this good fight of faith. It's laying hold on eternal life. Now, that's also, to me, also an interesting thing. Why would I have to lay hold on something? You ever think about that? Because your adversary is trying to pull you away from something. Something that you've embraced and taken hold of, he's trying to arrest you from that. He says, lay hold on that. Lay hold on what? Eternal life. Whereunto thou art called, art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge. See, this is verse 13. This is good. This starts to unfold here. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things. He quickeneth all things. And before Christ, who before Pontius Pilate, what did he do? He witnessed a good confession. See, you read that account, Pilate, I mean, Pilate didn't mince words with him, didn't he? He said, you know, I could have you killed. And what did Jesus say? He said, you have no power unless it be given to you from above. Now, now you think about it, he's standing before somebody that could have him executed on the spot. And he said, you have no power unless it's given to you from above. Now, how many of us would do that? How many of us would say, well, I don't know. Let me think about that a minute. I would trust that we would hold a good confession at that point. But he was tempted in all ways like we are. And he held to his good confession of faith. He's our example. Is he not? Verse 14. Well, let me back up. It says, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, or it says profession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, as far as what we lay hold to, the devil's trying to get the word from us. He's trying to have us say something different than what we believe. And that's why I appreciate, you know, those that, like Pastor Sarah, Pastor Clinton, who's going on to glory, you stand professing a good profession of faith. You know, what is the worst thing that is going to happen? You're going to leave this body and be in the presence of the Lord. But you stand professing what the Lord has given you in his word, and if he doesn't say anything different, then you stand still. If he gives you a different direction, you follow that. Amen. But the devil can't stop God. He can't stop the word from producing. He can't stop the Holy Spirit. And so when you look about, when you think about it, when we think about James, it says we are to submit ourselves, therefore, to God, resist. We're not to fight the devil. He's already defeated. All we're supposed to do is submit to God and his word and resist. Resist what? Resist him with the word of God. Resist him with the sword of the word of God. What did Jesus do? Let's turn over there a minute. You're all familiar with this. Look at Matthew. You're familiar with that, where the devil, after he was led of the Spirit out into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, it says he afterward he was in hunger. This is Matthew 4. It says, when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But how did he answer him? He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And then he continues down. And what does it say? He took him up into a holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and so forth. And what does it say in verse 7? And Jesus said to him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And so we have an example here from the Master, that when we are walking through any kind of a trial of faith, you need to have as your foundation the Word of God. You need to know what it is written so that you can decree that in faith. And that's why I said it's important that you may not feel Him when you're going through Him. Most don't. They're like, God, where are you in this? I don't feel you. I don't sense you. I don't hear you. You ain't talking, but I know you're there because you said you would never leave me nor forsake me. And so in the midst of that trial, I have his word, which is forever settled, to rest upon and to lay hold upon the eternal life that I have. And if I abide in him, he abides in me. And what does it say in 1 John 5? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So if it's in this world, if it's a trial and we're walking through it, how are we going to whoop it? Faith in God's word. And I'll tell you, the Spirit of God will reveal his word so that when you're going through. I remember a number of years ago, I had a very, very high temperature. I may have shared this. And I decided, it was unusual, I decided to just stay home that day. And I was laying in the bed, and I began to just laugh at the symptoms. I hadn't done that before. I just decided to start laughing. I didn't feel like laughing. I didn't feel good at all in the natural. And I began to just start to laugh. And the more I laughed, the more this down here in my spirit began to become stirred. And I began to laugh a little more and a little more. And I did that for close to a half an hour or more, 45 minutes. Just ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. And I got into a full Holy Ghost laughter. Just bubbling up out of here like a river. Laughing at these symptoms in my body. In faith. And when that began to subside, the Spirit of God began to talk to me about things that I've been thinking about, and it wasn't this. It wasn't the symptoms. It were other things. And the first thing he said to me was, he said, if you would work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you wouldn't have room enough to contain it all. And I said, well, he's right about that. I haven't been working the word to the same measure I've been saying it to the same degree over my body, in my finances. So he'll give you a success plan if you follow it. Now, what he told me was no different than what was in the Word, the Spirit of God. He didn't tell me anything different. He just got right down to where I lived. He just said, if you do this, he said, you'll have more than what you know what to do with financially. Well, it didn't take but a second for me to catch on and start doing that. And so that's why for all of us, whether it's finances, whether it's operating in love or forgiveness or prosperity or health, if we will just keep a good confession of the Word of God, that this trial that you're walking through will be a light thing. I'm telling you. You have more than enough. And we are not subject to the conditions of this earth. We are not subject to the conditions of this society. If we will just confess the Word of God continually, what does it say in Joshua 1:8? If we don't let this book of the law depart from our mouth and we meditate on it day and night, we will make our own way what? Prosperous and successful. So we have to meditate on it and what? Say it. Confess it. And that means, you know, we don't have to go through life begging and hoping and this. God will open doors and the windows of heaven will be poured out upon us. What? So he can establish his covenant here in the earth. Hallelujah. So let me go back over here. We're in 1 Timothy. Let me read this from the Amplified, and then I like this in the Message translation. This is 1 Timothy 6. I'll get back over there. And I'm going to read from the Amplified. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of the eternal life to which you were summoned and for which you confessed the good confession of faith before many witnesses. That's what you had to do to get saved. You had to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Verse 13. In the presence of God, who preserves alive all living things, and of Christ Jesus, who is his testimony before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I solemnly charge you to keep all his precepts unsullied and flawless, irreproachable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Now let me read this from the Message. You know, the Message has a way of making it real plain. Well, it does here. It says, run hard and fast in the faith. Seize the eternal life, the life you were called to, the life you so fervently embraced in the presence of so many witnesses. I'm charging you before the life-giving God and before Christ, who took his stand before Pontius Pilate and didn't give an inch. I like that. Didn't give an inch. Didn't back up, didn't give an inch. That's what we need not do. Don't give an inch. Nothing. Or they say nothing. May not be good English, but it gets the point across. I ain't giving in to nothing. We ain't giving in an inch. Keep this command to the letter and don't slack off. Our Master Jesus Christ is on his way. Amen. Amen. Now let's turn over to 2 Timothy. So the good confession is part of a good fight. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And starting in verse 1, I'm going to read through to verse 8. Verse 1, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. That just means quick, that just means those who are alive. That doesn't mean you're quick, that just means, you know, that means you're alive, you're breathing. That's what that means. The quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. See, that's what we need to be doing, right? Preach the word. Be instant in season. That just means be instant in season, just means when you have opportunity. Season means when you have an opportunity to preach the word, be ready. Be ready to do it. That's what that means. Be instant in season. Be ready to lay hands on the sick. Be ready to cast out demons. Be ready to preach the word. In season, when the opportunity is there. And then it says out of season, even when it's not there. Even when the opportunity doesn't present itself, you still preach the word. It says, what does it say? Reprove. Rebuke, right? Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. See, reprove, let me read it, says to expose, to admonish, to correct, show one his fault. That means we're to do that in preaching the word of God. Does that mean we don't like people? No, we love people, but preaching the word of God may, in fact, rebuke someone. It may reprove. Rebuke means to chide, to rebuke, reprove, censure severely. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. What does that mean? They don't want to listen to the word, but something that they want to hear. That's what that means. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. This is Paul saying, this is the end of his journey here. He says, I'm ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. Now look what he says in verse 7. I have fought a what? A good fight. I have finished my course and I have kept the faith. So do you think part of that good fight that Paul wage, do you think that was keeping a good confession? I believe it was. Verse 8, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me only. Oh boy. But unto all them, that means you too, also that love his appearing. Hallelujah. That includes us. Amen. Let's turn over for a minute. I want to just look at this for a second. Let's turn over to John for a minute. John 16, I think it is. John 16. A Familiar verse, scripture. John 16 and verse 33. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." What did he say? Did he say you might have? He said, "You shall have tribulation, but be of what? Good cheer." What does it say? "I have overcome the world." He's already overcoming. We have the name of Jesus. We have the blood of Jesus. We have His Word. And from that, we have faith in Him. And it's this faith that overcomes what He's already overcome. So we are supposed to what? What did he say? Have peace. Be of good cheer. I've already overcome it. So part of this good fight of faith is maintaining a good confession or profession in the Word of God, so that when you're confronted with it, you don't give in an inch. You don't budge. Now you may need to walk through. You may need to get a faith buddy. Maybe just tell you, remind you of who you are in Christ. Remind you. Tell me again who I am. Remind me who I am. That's why we have faith buddies sometimes. No, don't try to do it on your, by yourself. See, one of the things, like with any predator, what do predators try to do? They try to get you separated, isolated. And so don't ever find yourself separated and isolated from the body of Christ and separated and isolated from the people that you worship with. If you find yourself weak in that spot, pick up the phone, call, talk. Because at that point, the devil is trying to get you to profess something other than a good confession. Because life and death is in the power of your tongue. You know, I'm thinking about this particular scripture. Let me just jump over here. Let me read this here. I'll read it to you. It says, "Keep thy heart." What is it? Keep thy heart. This is Proverbs 4:23. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." That word "issues" means the boundaries of life. You set the boundaries in your life by what comes out of this heart. It can be good, or it can be not so good. Let me read it. I'm going to read something. This is the Good News Translation. It says, "Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts." So it's what comes out of this heart will establish the boundaries in your life. It says, "Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life." If you think you can't make it, you'll start talking about it. And you'll start professing not good confession. And you won't be as successful as you should be in this fight of faith. See? I'm going to go back. Let's go back to... Now, one thing I want to let's just share here. Let's go over to the book of Revelations for a second. These are, some are familiar, maybe some are not familiar with this particular. Revelations chapter 1. Look at verse 16. It says, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth, what? Went a sharp two-edged sword. Out of his mouth went a two-edged sword. That's what needs to come out of our mouth when confronted with things, is a sharp two-edged sword, which is the Word of God. Chapter 2, verse 16 in Revelation. It says, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. And of course, you know, chapter 12, verse 11, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Turn over to Philippians. It's a couple of verses here is familiar. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, not as though I had already attained. See, even Paul here is writing, somebody who'd been to the third heaven, received revelation. He said, what did he say? Wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. He's saying here, not as though I had already attained. Boy, that's something, isn't it, to say? Either we're already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend or take hold of, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Let me read that in another translation. It'll make it a little clearer. This is a American Standard Version says, not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on. If so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. See, even when you don't feel like you've been taken hold of by the Lord, He's apprehended you. He lives in you. He's taken hold of you. Even when you don't feel like it. He's taken hold. That's what Paul said. He said, when he wrote here, he said, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend or take hold, that for which also I am taken hold of by Christ. So he was apprehended. Where it says he's been taken hold of by Christ. Isn't that good? That's wonderful. I mean, to me, whatever you're walking through in life, he has you. He's got you. He's taken hold of you. Even when you don't feel like it. You feel like you're going down backwards. He's got you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's taken hold of you. And what he's endeavoring us to do is to have a good profession of faith. Just what Jesus did. It is written. And I will say this, when this is spoken from the heart, it is a sword. I remember, you've heard me tell this story, but it's so vivid and real to me. One of my sisters was getting married. She was marrying this young man from Chile. She lives in Santiago. She has for many, many years in South America. It's a wonderful thing about the iPad, you can FaceTime. It's cheaper than taking a plane trip. But anyways, he was over at the house. They were having a bridal shower that day. And I was reading my Bible, just quiet. Really didn't want to be bothered with all of that business. I was just being honest. I was meditating in the Word. And so he came in, he wanted to talk. So I obliged him and I talked. And we talked for a while. It was actually a couple of hours we talked. And so the more we talked, he kept saying, "My contact, my contact." And I said, "That ain't right." And so we started to talk more and more, and we were talking just like this. And in a second, he jumped up in my face right here. That quick. You didn't have time to think, because he caught me off guard. He jumped up and was right here, and he beat his chest and he said, "The devil lives in here." And his eyes were bright red. See, the Word of God will make a demon uncomfortable in the presence of God. And it's quick. I didn't have time to think. You know how something happens? You don't have time to think. And just that quick, it felt like a coat went just like that. That's the best way I can explain it. His presence was like a coat. It just dropped on me that quick, and I looked at him. And I said, "Roberto, I'm not afraid of demons or devils. I'm protected by the blood of Jesus." Just that quick. Just that quick. I didn't have time to even think. It just came from here. It just, whoop, came out. And it was a sword. And when I said it, he did this. He walked away. And for the next 2 days that he was in the house, he wouldn't look at me. He'd come in the room because he knew who I was. And through the years, he would look at me. He knows who I am in Christ. And I'm believing and trusting that the Spirit of God will move upon his heart. I am. And that whole family. Lovely family, and he's a lovely provider. Very, 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 very successful businessman. Has construction business. But he needs Jesus. And so I'm saying all that to say that when the Word of God comes from here, out of this spirit man, it is a good profession and it is a sword. And when spoken in faith, man, I'm telling you, the devil's got to back up. And faith, you will overcome. You're going to overcome every obstacle, every situation by and through faith, the God kind of faith. Amen? So think it not strange going through fiery trials. The Lord said you would. He said you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome them all. I've overcome them. We just need to maintain, as it says, that Paul wrote, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold, take hold, grip it, take hold of eternal life, on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You don't give an inch. Walk by faith and not by sight. Don't let these circumstances move you. Let the Word of God coming from your heart move you and the circumstances. You've heard us share this. If you're facing a mountain, what did Goliath do? He didn't run towards the giant with his mouth closed. Don't run towards your mountain with your mouth closed. If there's a mountain in your life, whosoever shall what? Believe of this mountain? No, it says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall what? Not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the things that you say shall come to pass. You need to be decreeing the end result. I believe those things that I say, it says you shall have whatsoever you sayeth. So maintain that good confession when you're walking through a fiery trial or an obstacle or a situation. Whether it's marriage or children or health or prosperity or a job, as you're walking through, you maintain and don't give an inch. Don't be moved by what you see or hear. Amen. That's enough for today. Amen. You know, you don't need but just something to hook on. I believe that God is reminding us that as we walk through these seasons in our life, you may have some seasons that are different than others. But whether it's a wonderful, great season or not, you maintain that good confession. And you maintain your trust in God. He's taken hold of you. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word, which is settled in our hearts. And we thank you that this word, when believed upon and spoken, will frame our world as you did. And we thank you, Father, that we can frame health with our words. We can frame our world of prosperity with our words. We can frame a good marriage with our words. We can frame our children's and the outcome of our children with our words. And we thank you for it. We believe you, God, and we trust you and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, we acknowledge you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.